Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is Rick Kogan doing his best to fill in for Bob Surratt, and there have been a lot of treats during the 2.5 days I've been doing this, and one of the major ones is to say, hi, Anna DeVlantis, I miss you.
Oh, I miss you too. Good morning, Rick. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, such as it is. Yeah, you too. I think this is, you know, as much as the listeners are probably enjoying, no doubt enjoying, This Week in Chicago History that you've started to present on this station. I've enjoyed it when I listened to it. You must be getting a big kick out of this, aren't you?
I am, like you, I just appreciate everything about our city and the history, and it's a fascination of mine. I know you too, and I thought of that you, Rick, because I thought you're going to appreciate so many of them this morning, because you'll remember them.
And I cannot, yeah, because that's a great thing. One of the joys of getting older is you remember cool, crazy, and your first trip back in time was a pretty crazy one, wasn't it?
2003, nearly 20 years ago, Rick, Meigs Field destroyed. This week, under cover of darkness, Mayor Daley, as you'll recall, carried out his middle-of-the-night mission to destroy Meigs Field. And just like that, the city's lakefront airport was kaput, gone, bye-bye, to the surprise of everyone, I think. You know, the city crews moved in, destroying the runways, carving out those giant X's. Here's someone you'll remember and appreciate as well, Rick Dick Kay, the late, great Dick Kay, then political editor, Channel 5. You and I both knew him well. Here he is describing that night what happened in the city.
It was quite a sight. Bulldozers, backhoes, and other heavy equipment rolling through the loop just before midnight under police escort. Their destination was Meigs Field, where, under orders from Mayor Daley, they began digging ditches and X's in the cement runways. Daley said he ordered the airport shut down to protect the city, but admitted there have been no specific threats.
There has been no specific threat. As mayor of the city of Chicago, public safety is one of my primary responsibilities. I take it very seriously. I am not willing to wait for a tragedy, as some have asked me to do, to happen before making a very difficult and tough decision.
So there you have it. Mayor said it was all about safety, though, Rick, I don't know. We weren't all entirely convinced about that particular thing. Yeah, no. He always wanted to make it Parkland, and there it is.
That's no kidding. And I just think of the people who had flown in the day before their private little planes and were sitting there going, I wonder how I get out of here now.
Yeah, I'm trapped.
That's a great story. It's great to hear the voice of good old Doogie. Dick Kay was one of the great great reporters in the history of this town. Your second item is also sort of aviation related, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amelia Earhart took flight this week in Chicago history, 1937. You may say, well, why is that Chicago history? And I'll tell you why. Amelia Earhart spent several of her formative years here in the city. People may know that. Some people may not. She graduated from Hyde Park High School, developed a love of aviation in her formative years, went on to be a pilot, set so many records. This was the week she took flight out of Oakland Municipal Airport outside San Francisco with the goal of circling the globe. At that time, she had already held several world records, highest altitude for a female pilot, her famous solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic. Of course, her first attempt at circling the globe and the second one as well were not successful. But she always talked about how this is furthering commercial aviation. She knew this was about the bigger picture, not just about herself. Testing instruments and laying the groundwork to open the door for mass passenger and cargo routes that would follow. Pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think very, very few people know that you graduated from Hyde Park High School. Amelia Earhart, and of course, the later tragedy when she got lost somewhere, No one seems to know where. That's one of the great mysteries of 20th century. Another thing you've got, you're doing something here. I have never heard of, frankly, Anna DeVlantis, Martin Cooper. Never heard
Martin
of this.
Cooper.
Martin
we
Cooper.
We all should either be so thrilled about Martin Cooper and thank him forever, or just say that he's the worst person ever and has created all the evils of the world. Because let the kids know, Rick, 40 years ago, he developed the cell phone right here in Schaumburg, actually, Schaumburg-based Motorola. Martin Cooper, was the engineer, the electrical engineer, IIT grad, by the way, who developed the first handheld, completely mobile cell phone. You could walk around with it. He planned on doing this, and he did it. And who do you think he called for that very first call to prove to the world he had done it?
Well, I would guess there are two guesses I would have, neither of which is right, and I know that. I would like it if he had called Alexander Graham Bell, and then I'd be surprised if he didn't call WGN Radio and say, hey, whoever was on, say, hey, love your show. Neither of those is who he called. Who'd he call?
Neither of those. I would think he'd call his mom and thank her for everything she had done. That is not who he called either. This is him describing who he did call.
Here I was walking down the streets of New York, and I thought, now, who should I call?
Yeah, Joel Engel's office, please.
Person that came to mind was my competitor at AT&T.
Hello, Joel. Yeah, Marty Cooper here.
To my delight, he answered the phone, and I said, Joel, I'm calling you on a cell phone, but a real cell phone, a personal, portable, handheld cell phone. And there was silence at the other end of the line.
Sure there was.
Well, he's a playful guy, Marty Cooper, calling his competitor, going, hey, guess what I'm doing?
Yeah.
That is a fascinating one.
Isn't it? And he didn't say na-na-na-na-na, but he did. He kind of did, but he kind of did without saying that.
He came close. What must be, by now, even though it's not been going on long, one of the most popular segments on this radio station, WGN, is Anna DeVlantis bringing you This Week in Chicago History. She's given us three fascinating bits so far, and now we travel back, and you know, I wasn't out there when he did it. We travel back to March 23rd, 1963, when a pretty famous guy visited the Chicago area.
Yeah, I wondered if you had visited this popular, but growing in popularity, we hope, because we're having a lot of fun with this segment, Rick.
Oh,
sure.
I can only imagine. I mean, every time I, you know, tell people, hey, I'm this old, they'll say, hey, do you remember Riverview? And I go, yeah, sure, yeah.
Some people study history.
It's how to relate to some of the vast audience this station has. What did Kennedy come here for?
Kennedy came in 1963, Rick, back in the day. He visited Chicago, stopping in the neighborhoods. He was dedicating O'Hare Airport at that time. Big expansion there, a lot of hope about Chicago. Aviation, again, a big theme today. But there was a big parade in the Loop held for him. And I looked back at the Tribune archives, Rick, and 500,000 people came out in, quote, sparkling spring.
Oh, my God.
Weather. Think about that. Just lining the streets. And JFK would just pull over his limousine and the Secret Service was going nuts because he was shaking hands with everybody. And it just seemed like an incredible time to be here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Here he is describing the dedication of O'Hare Airport and a little bit from the national radio broadcast at the time.
Chicago's O'Hare Airport, which for some time already has been the world's busiest flying field, is officially dedicated.
And there is no other airport in the world, and this should be a source of satisfaction to the people of Chicago, there is no other airport in the world which serves so many people and so many planes. Some 13.5 million airline travelers passed through O'Hare Airport last year. In 5 years, it has gone from the 16th most active field in the country to the first, like so many other things about Chicago.
There you go. Pretty incredible.
Well, and legendarily, I never believed it, but he owed Mayor Richard J. Daley his presidency for maneuverings at the ballot box in Chicago. That was a time, Anna DeVlantis.
I listened to the whole speech. He named Mayor Daley many, many, many times, Rick.
I'll bet.
Continue with the theory.
I'll bet. Yeah, to polish the theory. Another legendary figure, I'm not going to call him a person, debuted a few years before that in 1955, right?
Legendary Frasier Thomas. If you're of a certain age, this will take you back into the time machine of children's television. Garfield Goose and Friends. Oh, you remember it.
Yeah,
right?
I do. Rick? I do. Fondly.
If you were a kid in the 50s, the 60s, or even early to mid-70s in Chicago, or just a fan of retro TV, you might remember the show, Garfield Goose. Frasier Thomas, legendary, was not only the host of the show and did all the talking, but he was the creator, too. Garfield Goose was the clacking goose at the center of it. But it's just fun to go back in the day and remember. Here's one of his early shows, back with Frasier Thomas and Garfield Goose and Friends on WGN-TV.
Mama, how nice to see you today, Thursday morning. 14th day of March? Right. And I want to tell you, March has been pretty good to us so far, hasn't it? Hasn't been too bad. Not too bad. But you know, they say when it comes in like a lamb, it may go out like a lion. So we may have a few blizzards before this is over. All you can do is hope for the best, expect the worst, and take what you get. My grandmother used to say that, and my grandmother was right, exact. Grandmothers know best, don't they? You bet your life they do, Mama.
Such a talent. Acts like he was talking directly to you.
I know,
Rick.
You know, it's corny, but it's also so endearing, so mm-hmm. wonderfully pure and simple and direct. That's a great thing on it. This was some week in Chicago history. You told me about it again. You're going to tell me about something in the minute we have left or so about there once was a taxi service, a helicopter taxi service from O'Hare to downtown.
Well, I'm not sure it got off the ground, but and I'm not sure the revitalized downtown folks should take note of this, but it was this huge plan, Rick. You know, we always try to say, let's get people back downtown. Let's go shopping again. They were thinking about that very issue back in 1946. World War II had just ended, and they were trying to say, hey, let's get people shopping again. So they came up with this big idea. State Street Council, the leaders of the city, said, let's start a helicopter taxi and put landing pads on top of buildings in the loop and bring people downtown. Town ladies who just have a few hours to spare, and you know, it didn't really take off, but it is
in its way, Anna DeVlantes. It's a wonderfully goofy idea, but it might have worked.
Could have. Let's think big. We got to do that these days too, as well as then.
Well,
good to talk to you, Rick.
It is great to talk to you, dear. Take care of yourself.
You too.